everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. AI filters have gone totally wrong today.
And I said, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make it mine, all mine. I'd do your bidding and be at your beck and call. Hey, I've never seen anyone looking so fine. Yeah, I gotta have her, she's a one of a kind. I'm going once, going twice. I'm sold to the lady in the second row. She's an eight, she's a nine, she's a ten, I know. With the ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes. And I'm about to bid my heart goodbye.
Oh my god, what kind of Instagram filter is that? I'm afraid it could be reality. DK Shadow says, what is this creature? I don't know where this comes from. A couple of days ago, Elon had started talking about leaving Delaware. I think it's what we have to start doing. We have to start saying to the states that ruin the free market, to the state that ruins our life through family courts, we have to say, all right, I'm going to another state and you're going to be stuck with the retards who are willing to live under your jurisdiction. And Elon has done just this with SpaceX. SpaceX has moved its state of incorporation from Delaware to Texas. If your company is still incorporated in Delaware, I recommend moving to another state as soon as possible. My God, Elon could really change the outcome here. We might have people putting Delaware has always been the traditional place for all businesses of America to incorporate almost. And it used to be seen as the state that will give, fair treatment to corporations, but it has become a parasitized state because, like, at this point, I think it's something like 99% of the corporations registered in Delaware are operating outside. So it became a business. It became a business for dishonest people. And, at some point, we have to speak with our money. We have to bring our money elsewhere and say, all right, you're not going to collect those incorporation fees anymore. We're not interested. This is all in relation to Delaware, a judge of Delaware, finding that Elon Musk's compensation was too high. Rodilacid says, how much money has Delaware lost? Delaware apparently has the hardest bar exam in the country. An angry Sicilian says, you could set a clock to JF's scheduled streams. Love it. Yeah, I'm always showing up at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And most of the time, I'm ready in advance, and I just wait that it writes 7 here on my computer, and I start the show. Rodilacid says, although Delaware still has very lax tax laws for incorporations. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Texas is comparable, if not better. Let me tell you, it's my impression that Texas may be as good. So I think that Elon did the right thing here. Now, in terms of how much money has Delaware lost, the thing is, when you have something like SpaceX, which attracts lawsuits, which attracts lawyer fees. These lawyer fees are paid to local lawyers in Delaware. All of this is gone. So it's really it's the whole ecosystem of a judiciary system built for corporations that's withdrawing from Delaware if people follow the order here of Elon Musk. I once had a corporation in Delaware. When I was doing contractual work in the U.S., I had my green card. I had started an incorporation in Delaware, I think, if I remember correctly. Don't even remember. I think it was for my translation work. 9MMSMG reports that the shutting down of anti-Zionist accounts on Twitter seems to have been lifted. It has lasted only a month. He says, went a month gaining 10 to 30 followers per day, down from 200 to 800 for previous weeks, was gaining 25 million impressions a week, down to 2 million per week, all following Tunnelgate, the the digging of tunnel by New York Jews. I have zero strikes on my account. They flipped the switch. Now we're back. I just wish they could leave it organic. It's like a giant maze that changes constantly. So interestingly, although I've been critical and many people have been critical of Elon to be manipulating the game, it seems that Elon had the wisdom to do it temporarily, at least. DK Shadow says the tunnels were too much. Yeah, but we didn't dig these tunnels. How am I supposed not to talk about this? How am I supposed not to start a tunnel gate when there's a Jew just popping out of the street from under the sewer systems? There's no way. A new OpenAI AI technology is developing Sora, creating video from text. There's already a couple of websites that had attempted to produce this. I had tested some of those. I'd concluded that the technology still needed some improvement. But now Sora comes out, and it seems that ChatGPT, the company behind ChatGPT, wants to dominate this market too. Here's the prompt. A stylish woman walks down a Tokyo street filmed with warm glowing neon and animated city signage. She wears a black leather jacket, a long red dress, and black boots. This is not a real human, ladies and gentlemen. This is AI generated. And the goal of Sora is to become a tool for producers of video content so that you can truly generate original material. Perhaps we will have entire movies designed in Sora. I'm pretty excited at the technology, let me tell you, because if this can become available to the public, it's not yet. For now, they have a favorite list of users to whom they will release the product for testing. But the day this becomes publicly available and easy to use and beautiful, I think I may be producing a fiction series, perhaps cartoon, perhaps manga, anime, perhaps real people, I don't know, but something about the revolutionary phenotype. Definitely, I'd like to tell a story, and this technology is what I'm waiting for, because I tried learning drawing. You guys saw I tried drawing Coach Red Pill just to learn drawing, just so I could design an anime for you guys, and it's just too tough. I cannot become at 39 years old a like designer of animated cartoons. It's it's impossible. But if I could master this, this seems feasible, because I would say, all right, a stylish woman walks down Tokyo as TRP takes over, and it would generate the movie for me. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff will make a fan fiction TRP. That's exactly what I'd like to do. John Drake says, it's the fact that they think their reach should be nationwide or worldwide is the problem. What you're saying is the rub, though, I agree. That was in response to Rodita Sid saying, Combine that with VR glasses and you have immersive games that are rendered in real time. Wow. Maybe at some point, games will not be pre-designed things. Can you imagine EVE Online, but in a world drawn like this, like as complex as the real universe? Holy shit, can you imagine this? Can you imagine you are walking in an MMORPG and it's all designed on the spot according to the multiplayer interactions? So here they have revived the mammoths. Several giant woolly mammoths approach trending through a snowy meadow. Here you have a space movie trailer with a guy wearing a red wool knitted motorcycle helmet. the guy is exploring space with a wool cycle helmet. Here you have a beautiful drone view of waves crashing against the rugged cliffs. Here you can make a fake animation cartoon. Here you can make a gorgeously rendered paper craft world of a coral reef rife with colorful fish and sea creatures. Wow. Paper craft. Fake paper craft. Can you imagine? Here you have a kind of bird, a Victoria Crown pigeon. Not a true one, AI generated. Photorealistic close-up video of two pirate ships battling each other as they sail inside a cup of coffee. A young man at his 20s is sitting on a piece of cloud in the sky, reading a book. As Andrew Tarba was pointing out, there is demand for non-woke material, but it's super hard to produce. Costly to have our own Hollywood. But with this technology, it won't be costly at all. And, you know, I'd like to see a movie. Yesterday, I watched 300. Today, I watched 300, the original movie. Yesterday, I watched 300, Rise of an Empire, that is the sequel of the first movie. My God, these movies are good. These movies are good. It was back in the days where you didn't have this inclusion thing that everyone had to be included and there had to be a black Greek. And it's so white as a movie. It's so like the Spartans are really just white people trying to fend off the invading Arab populations. That is what it is. And it's so beautiful to see these movies. Alimer says, you just saw 300. Well, I had seen the original 300 many times. I've always enjoyed. But I had never gotten, and someone recommended that I watch the follow-up. The follow-up is very interesting. Not as good, unfortunately, as the first movie, but very interesting. And let me tell you, it's going well for Bitcoin. It's going insane well. And today I woke up to a realization. Michael Saylor is like, I understood what he wants to do. And I was like, no, what the fuck? Unbelievable. I realized, thanks to a tweet, that Michael Saylor has produced an infinite money machine of the sort that has never been faced by civilization. It's not just we're going to buy Bitcoin. It's not just this. And I'm going to take you through how this guy has played the markets with 6D chess of a kind that will have massive consequences in the century to come. Michael Saylor is headed to become the leader of the first and perhaps one day only big corporation in the world. He's going to outcompete Apple, he's going to outcompete everyone, and he's going to do it by doing only one thing, and it's to buy Bitcoin. And I just realized, thanks to a tweet that laid it out for me, holy shit, is this about to happen? Because I've listened to his speeches for years. I've always found him super insightful, and he's talking about the demonetization. He's saying, you know, because we don't have a good money, everyone has always been fleeing from money, but the signal has never been forced into the same direction. So you have a couple of people thinking, oh yeah, gold is going to be our money, and gold acquires some sort of money status. That's the monetization of gold. And then people say, oh, well, stocks, they offer some opportunity to grow. With stocks, you can build a company, etc., acquire value. And so the stock market becomes monetized. It becomes kind of partly money to have stocks. And he's saying, this is all wrong. the whole thing from gold to all companies ever. This is all inefficient money. All inefficient money that it's there because there's no better alternative. And his vision is to say, because Bitcoin is a better money, Bitcoin will absorb all of this. That eventually we will not treat gold as money, but we will treat it as a mineral. And that implies gold being much less valued because suddenly one of the functions that gold plays is about to be replaced by a better alternative. But to make sure that he would be transforming this vision into success, Michael Saylor placed himself on the market in a way that I just realized this morning. He's about to create a system of amplification that will allow for the demonetization of everything. And this demonetization will profit only one kind of person, someone who either owns Bitcoin or owns MicroStrategy stocks. And I'm going to go through it. Go Away says, if JF keeps talking about how well BTC is doing, well, I won't read the rest. I know you're joking, but I won't read your joke. Speaker Scorner says, JF, I like the theory, but what is the process a stock gets added to S&P 500? Well, technically, you just have to be one of the 500 top companies in the world. So that's what the S&P 500 is supposed to be. Now, there may be political games. So here's the strategy of Michael Saylor in short, and that's what I realized this morning. Michael Saylor, and I want to give credit to the person who made the tweet that made me realize this. Michael Saylor is about to put himself in the S&P 500 by just buying Bitcoin. Why MicroStrategy is a better buy than any of the Bitcoin ETFs. Saylor is arbitraging existing debt and equity market inefficiencies, which are massive. Debt is too cheap and equities are too expensive. On the order of trillions of dollars. So debt is too cheap. That is because there's the Fed and the American government constantly inputting money into the system. Money, low interest, and high printing. So the volume for, hey, I have some money. Do you want to have money lended to you? Debt is cheap. Rates are low because the Fed is printing money. And equities are too expensive, on the orders of trillions of dollars. That is the monetization argument. If I was to boil it down to Twitter, let's say Twitter. What is Twitter? Well, it's a building. There's a couple of computers in it. There's an annoying human resource lady that's counting the number of black people. There's an annoying chef who's making food for the employees. Then there's a bunch of employees that are dependent on the company to live. They're desperately hanging on to their jobs. Twitter is a mess. It's a physical mess of inefficiency. The idea that if I was to take Twitter, break it down, close the website, and sell the Twitter assets, I wouldn't have $44 billion. In fact, I would barely have maybe a couple million dollars at this point. That is the discrepancy between the valuation of Twitter, the valuation of Apple, that the actual thing is not worth that much. And the actual operation is not that efficient. Like you could say, oh, well, Apple has goodwill. It sells a lot of phones and people are expecting the next release. Yeah, but to maintain this goodwill, you constantly have to reinvent a new phone. At some point in the future, I'm pretty sure that you won't be able to stay in the market. The market will move away from you and you won't have the right ID. And then you have to maintain all this, these hordes of employees across the world in these little white shops that you have to pay rent for, you have to pay electricity. All of this is extremely inefficient. And so Apple is an ID, and the ID is worth a lot right now. But if you were to boil it down to what it really is, it isn't that much. And that's the idea that equities are too expensive. Which is that people who buy Apple stock, they don't really foresee a future in which they will have to bankrupt Apple and recycle its employees and recycle its material possessions. The reality is people buy the Apple stock as an ID that will survive in time, and therefore they buy it as a bill of money. They think that it will outcompete the USD in terms of surviving value through time. And the whole idea of the corporate world and capitalism was supposed to be that the most promising enterprises, by the virtue of the fact that they will generate income on a regular basis in the future, therefore they are good places to put your money. But in the process, the Michael Saylors of this world have decided, well, that shouldn't be what they do. They do this simply because money is bad. And really, you wouldn't want to invest in a high-risk, aesthetic company of the kind of Apple in terms of technological aesthetics and innovation. You wouldn't want to invest your money in this if you had an alternative in which your money could just remain stable. If your wealth could be preserved, I'm not sure that you would want to buy Apple stocks. I'm not sure that Apple is a very promising value 25 years down the line. You're buying Apple because you're running away from the US dollar. That's the point of demonetization. We need to demonetize Apple because Apple should be something you buy because you have an idea that their technological innovation will really outcompete others, not because you need an exchangeable paper that's still worth something 20 years down the line. That is not the role that the stock market should play. Passive flows into ETFs are a massive market inefficiency. That Vanguard Group has convinced everyone is the correct way to save. But investing is not equal to saving. And decades of people using equities to save their wealth rather than invest has resulted in massive monetary premia accruing to all index stocks. In other words, the stock market is in a pyramid of self-deception. It's stacked and it's stacked fake value and fake value and more fake value. And we're at a point where the value isn't an investment anymore. It's a game that you play with the future of money. The 7 to 10% nominal yearly returns that people experience in SPY and et al. Aren't investment returns at all. They are not real yields. They are more or less simply capturing the debasement of the dollar. But they are, so Master Slave says fake value. What does that even mean? Here's what it means. I explained one sense, which is if you were to strip down Apple and you stop doing the operation of the company, but you strip it down to what it has. Apple doesn't have much. You know, Twitter doesn't have much. Twitter is just a lousy HQ center in a rented skyscraper with a bunch of engineers in it. That's not worth $44 billion. I mean, to a certain extent, you'd have quite a headache to find a businessman who's willing to just take charge of their salary without even the cost of transportation. And what the fuck am I going to do with this outdated hardware and these servers? So first, first and foremost, value is property. And fake value is the fact that these papers are overpriced. They are priced more than the physical property they are tied to. The second way in which the stock market is fake value is that the whole operation of a company was supposed to generate profit. And it's almost not happening anymore. What's happening is you have companies creating cash flows that are less, that are increasingly less tied to the actual value of the company as we go into the future. You have certain birthing companies, they have negative cash flow. They're losing money. And you have certain companies that are judged as so promising. Everyone wants their stock, but the company isn't making money yet. It's just on a future promise that, yeah, maybe given that they are acquired, like Amazon has been doing this for a long time, reinjection of all funds into a reinvestment for the company to grow the customer base, to grow customer confidence. It's not generating money yet. And so you have the stock value that's increasing and increasing of Amazon, but it's not been generated. It's not even a money generating machine. It's just that people think it may be a good money generating machine in the end. That's what I mean by fake value. But they are bad at it. Equities are for investing. That is, you research a company and you decide that this company is going to be worth a lot more than it is now, so you buy a piece of its future profits. Your average boomer dollar cost averaging indiscriminately into index funds breaks this. It is just using equities as money because the money fucking sucks. It's easier to print money than new equity. The market punishes the latter. So we have flows of money that are no more tied to real insight into, oh yeah, Apple has a very good idea and so I'm going to invest in it. We have passive flows of money of workers. Some of their paychecks are getting taken and it gets into the hands of an administrator and the administrator just says, I'm going to buy S&P 500. I'm going to buy this and that. And it gets automatically into these companies without any sort of insight on their quality. So you have a system of self-rewarding happening with the S&P 500. Enter Michael Saylor. The same dynamic is happening with MicroStrategy. But Saylor knows that the rational thing to do at times when the market values his company at more than its equity multiple plus BTC treasury is to dilute shareholders and use the proceeds from the equity sale to buy more Bitcoin. In other words, he arbitrages the monetary premium that has accrued to his company's stock by transferring it into actual money. Michael Saylor is positioning himself into this flow of infinite boomer money. And he's saying, I'm going to be there. I'm going to emit new shares of my company. And when you buy those shares, I'm going to give you fair value at current Bitcoin. But I know that Bitcoin will be worth so much more in the future. So Michael Saylor is taking that monetary premium that every other company is exploiting in the wrong direction, which is by starting to pay their freaking leftist, disgusting employees. That's what's happening. There is a flow of unjust money that comes from the boomer, goes into a fund manager hand. The fund manager has no other choice but to buy S&P 500 because no one ever got fired for buying S&P 500. The S&P 500 has no other choice but to invest in all these 500 crappy companies. This money gets into these 500 crappy companies, and because these companies are in the business of making it look like they're actually doing something, they have to expand in employment. useless employment. Literally, they don't care. As long as you're a black, lesbian, handicapped, we're going to put you there. Please sit down and say to whoever asks, tell them you're our employee. That is it. Now, what if you put yourself in this flow of inefficient money flow and you buy Bitcoin instead of hiring the basketballer lesbian? It turns out you create an infinite money machine. This is what I realized this morning. So far, he has been arbitraging mainly the inefficiencies caused by the absence of a BTC ETF. But that was peanuts compared to the real 800-pound gorilla in the room of inefficiencies, the multi-trillion dollar mispricing of every equity in the market due to the vanguardization of every 401k and IRA. The moment MicroStrategy gets listed in index funds, the spigot gets turned on. Every saver in the country starts titting a bit of savings to MicroStrategy every day. Seller can simply pass this on by diluting shares and buying a little more Bitcoin for his treasury. And this is where it gets crazy. The proportion of passive ETF flows allocated to MicroStrategy scales with the relative size of MicroStrategy. So as the company grows its BTC treasury and as BTC appreciates, it diverts an increasing proportion of passive investment capital into BTC, which creates a positive feedback loop. MicroStrategy effectively becomes a conduit for the monetary premium of every mispriced equity in the country into the black hole of Bitcoin, where it belongs, ultimately accruing to the purchasing power of Bitcoin hodlers. Of course, then the game theory gets really spicy, because as other companies hemorrhage their share of passive flows to the Bitcoin black hole, they too will be forced to adopt Bitcoin treasuries. Seller as checkmate fiat, this is not priced in. This is strong. This is strong. And it's really the vision that Michael Saylor had been putting together in a video. And recently, Michael Saylor said that he was converting MicroStrategy into a Bitcoin development company. And I hadn't understood why he was doing this, but so I wasn't commenting on this. But now I understand. The problem is Michael Saylor could be denied entry to the S&P 500 if he defines himself as a Bitcoin storage company. Because if he was defining himself as such, he would basically be an imperfect ETF. And the S&P 500 could say, oh, well, you're a commodity accumulator company. You don't belong in the S&P 500. Even if you have a big market cap, you're just a stacker of a commodity. But Michael Saylor changed the chart of MicroStrategy and said, we are a Bitcoin development company. In the same way, you're a real estate developer company. You're developing real estate. We're developing Bitcoin. So that puts him in the club of companies who don't just store something, but who do something. And that puts him potentially a fitting characteristic for entering the S&P 500 and not being denied as an indirect ETF. I believe that's what's at the heart of his recent choice to change the charter of MicroStrategy and define it as a Bitcoin development company. Basically, what he's going to do is still going to be the same. He's going to promote Bitcoin and he's going to buy Bitcoin. But we're a Bitcoin development company. That's our job. We try to preach Bitcoin. And somehow we make millions and billions of dollars doing it. So here's the positive feedback loop that he's getting into. MicroStrategy is at the border of entering the S&P 500. it could very well, if Bitcoin does a 2x or 3x, MicroStrategy keeps buying it, it could very well pass the threshold where it's one of the 500 biggest companies. Now suddenly MicroStrategy is in a flow of money where all boomers are all buying S&P 500. At the beginning, he may be the 500 company. But all of the other companies, they're wasting this money on employment, trying to make money. And everyone who's in business knows if you try to do anything with an investment, it's going to get diluted away. You try to employ someone to advance on some project, he's not going to do it. He's just going to take your money and run. So every S&P 500 company is stuck with this problem that to sell $100 worth of something, sometimes they will need to invest $200, $300. And it's like, oh, we're trying to get the machine started. We're trying to get people to adopt our brand, but it's not happening. Meanwhile, Michael Saylor has zero expenses. Michael Saylor has zero insurance cost. He only has a couple of ledgers on his desk, and he's just buying Bitcoin on them, buying Bitcoin. John Drake says, I tried to tell you to buy MicroStrategy, JF. Lol. I'm still not going to buy MicroStrategy, but I would point out to the fact that this is fucking genius. Because let's say that he's at position 500. All the money that's going in is going into Bitcoin. And maybe it's going to be down for a bear market, but it's going to be back up and back up. And it's always going to be higher and higher. In other words, everyone is bleeding while Michael Saylor is chilling and eating grapes and getting fat. And so he's going to be 400, 300, 200, 100. What is the logical conclusion of this story once this feedback loop is complete? Every other company is bleeding. They're all going down while Michael Saylor is going up. Now you might say, well, what if JF? What if everyone does like Michael Saylor? But Michael Saylor is the first mover. So whatever amount of Bitcoin Apple could buy or whoever else could buy, MicroStrategy is going to benefit from the price increase that they cause by buying the Bitcoin. So Michael Saylor has put himself in a position to enjoy infinite returns, basically, from the demonetization of all stocks and from the conversion of the entire world economy to a Bitcoin standard. And the only consequence that I can see from this crazy strategy is that MicroStrategy will one day be the biggest corporation in the world, period. There is no other choice. It's the only thing that can happen from here. Fixed DSM says, yes, BTC scaling is a problem. I think there's an agenda to limit BTC development. Maybe there is, but it's good enough as it is. So personally, I'm not alarmed by the lack of Bitcoin progress. In fact, it's kind of scary how they deployed the ordinals and it just worked without messing too much. I know some people complained against the ordinals. Personally, I've enjoyed the ordinal release, and I've been doing my own ordinals. I like the idea, but it's kind of a miracle that it happened without much of a bug, without much of an issue. Speaker's Corner says, JF, address my comment. Well, I will start by reading Silver Spider's super chat. He says, hey, JF, I've been trying to start a business, but I have to be recognized by the state to buy insurance. Recent laws allow non-citizens/criminals to start this business, yet the black woman issuing my license keeps requesting more requirements, not even listed in their stated laws. Am I in communism yet? Definitely. You are in communism. That's why I've given up most type of organizations with society. I've given up employment. I've given up wanting to be a professor. I've given up research in university. I've given up applying for grants to the government. And let me tell you, starting a business is not super attractive. And having insurance and this, I've decided to live a different life. I live the life of a computer anarchist, really. And I enjoy it. And I enjoy it when I see similar-minded people like Michael Saylor do stuff that can change the world. But I have no insurance. I have no insurance, and you might not want to have insurance. You might want to see, if you look at the world in the way I look at it, if you need insurance, it's because you have something of value. If you have something of value, that's a weakness in your armor. You need to have nothing. Nothing that's stealable, nothing that could be value for someone else. And then, as far as the true value that you have, you put it in Bitcoin and you put it under a scheme of encoding that no one can possibly ever steal it from you. That is how I see life. Now, if you want to try yourself at convincing the black woman to allow you to exist, go at it, try. But there's not much ways you're going to make money in this world. It's a cartel world, and it's being taken over by people who are hostile to white people. But there is a legitimate disengagement of the white man from society, and we should show them you're going to get the black woman plumber. Okay. If you keep not allowing the white man to go into careers and not allowing the white man to get employment, you're going to end up with the black woman plumber. Now, that's your problem. You caused this. We have to stay in the back for a while. We have to step back, look at what the world becomes without us. That's how I see it. But of course, I don't want to discourage you to do stuff. Maybe you really have a good idea that you want to pursue. If so, go for it. But you're going to be faced with all this sludge. I know what they're doing to you. They're going to demand, oh, don't you have this paper? Don't you have this other paper? I'm not giving papers anymore. I burned my papers. When I left America, I left behind my PhD in a frame. I left it. I didn't even include it in my last car, in my last travel. My doctoral study that confirms that I'm a doctor has been thrown to the trash before I left the United States. So if you want to live that lifestyle, you'll get much less demand for red tape and insurance and that kind of crap. What else do we have? So much happening today. Elizabeth Warren was kind of tricked into signing a withdrawal of the American flag to Satoshi Nakamoto to honor his contribution to Bitcoin. And I think it's because there's a rule. I don't know if it's the Democrat Party or all politicians, but if you do a donation, you can get your local representative to sign a certificate in dedication to someone you love or someone you want to remember. And someone had her sign the certificate of flag being pulled down in the honor of Satoshi Nakamoto. It's going well for Bitcoin. Chef Marv says, I'm sure JF's doctorate degree would fetch a good price on eBay. See, I didn't even think about selling it. In America, acquiring a based and red pill trad wife is increasingly unaffordable for most patriotic Americans. So my team and I traveled to Bangkok, Thailand, a nation commonly demonized by liberals as racked by sex trafficking and child prostitution. We wanted to see for ourselves, and what we found will shock you. Lily, whom we met at the airport shortly after stepping off the plane, will reportedly love me for a long time, for less than $100 per month. When I inquired into her opinions on the Bible and American Constitution, she informed me that, "Both so cool, mister." It was a revelation. Richard Spencer making a parody of Tucker Carlson, mocking the fact that Tucker Carlson went into Russia and spent, he shopped for food for his team, and his basket may have cost something like $400 at Walmart in America. But in Russia, it cost him the equivalent, the converted equivalent of 100 USD. And a lot of people have been enjoying this little clip by Tucker. I have. I think it's a good clip. Now, there is a dishonesty of this clip, which was criticized by Richard Spencer. And it is that the conversion of money isn't giving you a true measure of how hard it is for a Russian to buy that basket of good. So you're coming in with USD. USD is desirable, so it's very easy for 100 USD to buy a lot of food in Russia. But it's not indicative of what the locals have to endure in terms of their capacity to get that amount of money. It may be just as hard for them as for you to get $100. So because of the exchange rates, you can't compare. And the perfect example is the Thai wife who will be your wife for $100 per month. That is not indicative that she is more trad or that it's a better society. It's just indicative that it's a poorer society, really. I have to agree with Richard Spencer. He's correct on this. The Tucker Carlson demonstration is invalid, completely invalid. Now, someone wanted me to address their point, but I couldn't find it on the chat. So, Speaker's Corner, can you repeat your point? Are you able to copy paste it? Because I think it flew and I missed it. And I do want to address it. But while you find it and try to retype it, let's see what the woman think about work.
One thing I will never understand is how people work in maintenance. Like, what do you mean it's your whole job to just fix anything that goes wrong? And how do you know how to do it? I just don't understand how someone can possess all that knowledge to fix like anything in the world. Like, especially for an apartment or something, like they're not just fixing washers and dryers, like they're fixing anything in the entire apartment complex. Like, how do you physically have that much knowledge to just fix anything on the fly?
So someone on my Twitter account was pointing out, Jeff, she's just trying to signal stupid to a handyman because she's looking for a husband. Maybe she is. Maybe she is. It may not be genuine wondering. It may just be, "Oh, I'm so helpless. Please come and fix my dishwasher, Jeff." Okay, Speaker's Corner, I caught your sentence. Someone pointed it to me. So, Jeff, the powers that be will prevent the MicroStrategy feedback loop by engaging in a speculative price attack when it looks like MicroStrategy are getting big enough for S&P 500 entry? Interrogation mark. This is a price attack is not something that can be sustained. So here's the thing. How would you organize a price attack that would work against Michael Saylor? You're going to need to own a lot of his stock. How are you going to do this? You're going to have to pay for it. So Michael Saylor, you would pay for his stock. He's just going to take that increased value of his stock and he's going to buy Bitcoin with it. Worst case scenario, if he has extra cash on hand. So really, I don't believe in price attacks being doable on the long run, being able to sustain against a trend that is justified and true. You can't do a price attack that will work forever. And you'll be losing massive amounts of money in trying to pull this. You can do an instant price attack. You can crash the market for a second, for 5 seconds, for 1 minute. Sure, you can do this, but I don't think you can do a price attack that will keep MicroStrategy for a year out of the S&P 500 where it would belong. So I'm going to deny this hypothesis. That being said, the other component of what you're saying is true. The elites will hate the idea of this feedback loop. But this sends us back to, what is Michael Saylor exploiting here? He's exploiting a feedback loop that every other company benefits from. They're just redirecting the money away to unproductive causes. What Michael Saylor will benefit from is not an advantage at all over other companies. He's not exploiting a loophole of the system. He's exploiting the existing system as it stands. And what is he doing for this to be called exploitation? He's going to invest in something that actually gives returns, as opposed to all these other companies who invest in things that don't generate returns or that keep them kind of cash neutral. So in a way, this is not an exploit, and it's not something that the elite will legitimately revolt against. But they will certainly try to revolt against it. They're not going to like the idea that, oh my God, the best business strategy, you're telling me the best business strategy is to do nothing? The best business strategy is to fire everyone? And it's like Michael Saylor will be like, yeah. Michael Saylor is never going to be as direct as I am on this because he has to defend an image of, oh no, we're a company, we're doing something. We have a big skyscraper, we have employees. But that's really what he's saying through his actions. It is more efficient to virtualize the wealth and preserve it than it is to spend it on anything. Because all of these companies, they may look like they're growing. They're growing by the rate of the money printing of the Fed. But they're not even outgrowing that rate. And that's an indicator that something is wrong. Everyone is wasting money. Everyone is bleeding. Michael Saylor is the one who stops the injury. Rodilacid says, BTC and crypto has been deemed to be ecological disasters and therefore outlawed by the world police. All your BTC now belong to the state. Well, it's going to be very hard for this. You know, in a way, even if the US government was to launch a serious plan like this to attack Bitcoin, the fact is they would only be capable of truly affecting the mining business of Bitcoin. Now you're going to tell me, well, Jeff, aren't transfers of Bitcoin dependent on the mining? Sure, but someone could take the Bitcoin program, do a little fix here and there. Tomorrow morning, transfers of Bitcoin aren't reliant on the mining anymore. Transfers of Bitcoin are reliant on 5,000 computers, 3,000 of which are owned by Michael Saylor, and he's always been respecting the blockchain and he will continue respecting the blockchain. You could make Bitcoin have zero cost in mining tomorrow. Now, the reality is you have people in the Bitcoin industry who are making good arguments that actually Bitcoin, because it uses energy that would have gone to waste anyway, it's actually a catalyst for more energy efficiency. It's taking waste of energy and it's making it valuable in a way that you can reinvest in more energy production. So in a way, I think that the government would have a big, big issue trying to start giving trouble to the blockchain. And best they could do is they will impose some cost on mining, but it would be very hard to argue that Bitcoins must be seized themselves. Master Slave says BTC is ridiculously correlated with the stock market. If money printing is causing the value of stocks to be inflated, then the same is true for BTC. BTC is correlated, but saying it's correlated is not enough. You have to say by how many X's, because ultimately everything will be correlated to everything. The question is, what is the amplification factor? We have seen, and Michael Saylor has shown in his PowerPoint, that the amplification factor of the stock market over long periods is basically 1x. You are just following the curve of the money printing. The amplification factor of Bitcoin being finite is potentially infinity. And so on an infinite money printing scheme, Bitcoin, rather than rising 1x like the stock market does, Bitcoin rises to infinity alongside the infinite money printing. So saying it's correlated is not enough. You're not convincing me of anything with this word. Frog Eyes says BTC operates over fiber optic telecom lines. The electricity is usually drawn from a renewable / takes advantage of excess capacity at point of production. The whole "it's bad for the environment" doesn't hold up under scrutiny. I agree. Chef Marv says BTC will sure take a hit when tech goes bust, like in 2000, especially since inception of IBIT ETF, but will probably fare better than stocks. Oh yeah, there will be ups and downs, but that's the beauty of Bitcoin. The downs are totally tolerable. I live at the edge of survival. You know, I'm a guy who lives in simplicity. And even I could take a bear market and not suffer. You just restrict your expenses. You don't launch yourself into crazy expenses and expending of your properties. You just stay calm. And you can totally survive a bear market. Not a problem. Matt Walsh was continuing his point about marriage. We have to promote marriage, even if the red pillars are saying it's evil. He was answering to someone who was black-pilled on marriage, and he was saying, okay, then give up on the fundamental institution of human civilization, live alone for the rest of your life, let your bloodline be extinguished from the earth, and die without leaving any legacy or lasting mark on the world. Is that what you want to hear? And I think there's a false dichotomy set up by Matt Walsh on this subject when he interacts with Pearl, just Pearly Things, and Andrew Wilson. What he's missing is between completely abandoning marriage and religiously deceiving people into the greatness of marriage, there is a middle ground. So I said, that is a false dichotomy, Matt. I think what people would like to hear is this. One, good marriage with a mentally healthy female who is in contact with reality is theoretically possible, but likely out of reach for a majority of men. Two, the yearning for men to beat the statistics maybe a nice dream, but it should not redirect attention away from the need for societal fixes to the problems of family courts and female psychiatric instability. Three, while we wait for a societal fix to these issues, low-status males do have alternative strategies available to them when unable to realize the dream of beating the statistics, which are fuck the bottom, spray and pray, as well as the Asian male bride. That's all. I don't think you, Matt, fail to understand these things. I think clearer communication away from the perfect case is what's needed. Because, you know, Matt is presenting this all, Matt, the problem is he is with a perfect Christian wife. Now, when you have a certain level, when you are a certain level of alpha male, you do end up with the perfect girlfriend, as happened to me. But I'm never going to let this cloud my judgment. I'm not going to, like, my discourse here will not change to say to you guys, yeah, it's possible. Go grab that girl. No, no, it's like, to grab this perfect girlfriend, I had to pass through 200 fucking evil witches, and I had to go into an international career where my celibacy would be exposed in mainstream media just so I could reach that one perfect Christian girlfriend. So if you want to know how hard it is, that's how hard it is. That's what a e-celeb had to go through to find a perfect girlfriend. So I'm not going to start talking to you guys on the chat who are nobodies, who don't get the mainstream media publicity when you get a separation. You don't get the whole murder case against you helping the propagation of the fact that you're celibate across the world. You get none of this. You most likely will not find a perfect girlfriend. That is what I think Matt should be saying to his user base. Silver Spider says, I really hope this girl stays with JF and doesn't mess it up. I am totally confident in my girlfriend. I've never been so it's the first time I'm confident in a woman's ability to do anything, really. Let alone stay with me. I mean, she is inspiring of a kind of, you know, pillars. There's not much pillars in my life. There's the pillar of mathematical truth. There's the pillar of my empirical methodology. There's my pillar of philosophy inside of me. And then I have a new pillar in my life. I have this pillar of a girlfriend who I know what she believes. I know it's going to be stable. I know that she is truthful with herself and with the world around her. And on top of it, she's not delusional. So, and just in case that wouldn't be enough, she is sexy to the level of leading me to become bacon. Tradcons can't out-debate fact. Marriage is a dying institution, and religion can't save men from these promiscuous women. So those were the people arguing against Matt Walsh. Pearl is talking about the possibility of a debate with Matt Walsh on Timcast. That might be interesting. Marion Afal reports Russia is winning the war by attrition. The Ukrainians have issues maintaining the rhythm, and I mean we've been saying as much for many months already. Kanye West and Thank You Dollar Sign album Vultures has been removed from Apple Music. Apparently, it's not even Apple Music that decided to do so. It's the record label that Kanye was dealt with that was related to The Weeknd. So Kanye was on Apple. Kanye has to learn about self-publishing. Because look at Papa JF. Did Papa JF get censored on Amazon? When I did my attack on Gad Saad, his fans started writing to Amazon. It's like, you guys can try, but Jeff Bezos has been totally honest, has been allowing me to publish my book. It's not even a controversial book, really. But they were trying to argue that because I'm a controversial person, that Amazon should stop publishing my book. Go the way of self-publishing, can you? I mean, when you go through these record labels, you lose most of the money. Don't do it. Do like me. Like, what if Kanye, instead of making $1, $2, $3 per album, what if you were making $14 per album? That's what's happening to Papa JF. Papa JF only has to sell one of these books, you have to sell 14 of your little music MP3s before you are making as much money as Papa JF. New guy says, Drat, I'll never get TRP into any library now. Well, it is in library because I've not been censored. Sam Altman was demonstrating the video generation capabilities of Sora, the new AI. Look at this. A grandma, Italian grandma in Tuscany making gnocchi pasta. And look, she's not even real. That's AI generated. Wow. I can't wait to exploit this to make some... Look at how text to video, look at how it progressed from 2023. That was AI generated Will Smith eating spaghetti. Oh my God, that was the state of AI generated video in 2023. This is disgusting. And now 2024. This is AI generated. Holy shit. A cat, a woman in bed. What the fuck? What the fuck? Rodin says, so God Saad silenced one guy and had him thrown off Twitter, and his fans are trying to silence JF and get him thrown off Amazon. Defenders of free speech, indeed. Oh yeah, I mean, people were telling to these guys who were organizing my cancellation, people were telling them, you really can't help it, can you? We are currently discussing how you're shutting down other people. And within that discussion, you want to shut down JF? Wow. Instagram, most uninstalled app in 2023. The market is moving, ladies and gentlemen. X is taking over the world. Bitcoin is taking over the world also. So that is North, the daughter of Kanye. What are three things you're grateful for today? I am grateful for the Vultures 1 album because it is insanely good. I am also grateful for the Black Vulture because if Vultures weren't alive, this amazing album wouldn't have come out. Lastly, I am grateful for the song Carnival. And here you have the new wife of Kanye West. She is something like 10 years old or something. She drew her father's picture for the Vulture cover with his wife with a thing hiding her ass. People were pointing out, I've seen that Nick Fuentes was pointing out that the song Carnival is filled with sexual references, that a 10-year-old Black girl shouldn't be listening to this. Okay, let's say we are not one girl away from fixing degeneracy in North America, so it's like, okay, maybe Kanye West's daughter will become a degenerate. What can you do? Current economy is in recession. I had said that I was feeling kind of a recession coming, but then that it was very tight with the Bitcoin bull run for there to even be a recession. But in fact, certain economies are already in recession today. Peru, Japan, Ireland, Estonia, Finland, Moldova, Denmark, Luxembourg, United Kingdom. So the recession is there, but it may not become a worldwide recession. What causes this behavior? Someone was asking. Let's see. Oh, and people wanted an update about Timcast. Timcast has not written back to me. I'm going to try. I mean, hopefully you guys can pressure Tim Pool into accepting Papa JF on his show, because it's a one in a many years opportunity. I will be in the U.S. I will be in the U.S. in April. It would be the time if Tim Cast wants to talk to me. I know he said before, oh, I don't like blood sports. Well, let's not do blood sports, but let's recognize it as a legitimate intellectual movement that did happen on the internet, and it served a purpose. It was important. And we can talk about other things than blood sports, of course. What is causing this behavior?
So it's about, I'm not really exactly sure what time it is, but my wife is on the phone because this right here is going on.
I'm fighting with it. Fighting with it.
Yeah, that's... you need to... You need to not be... So this is still happening. So now we got some cops rolling up here. Is this shit right here? That's some wild business.
Yeah, people were saying, Jeff, what is this? It's female behavior. I mean, sometimes they take drugs, but mostly it's just, this is how females act. Sometimes we call it psychosis, but it's also just how females act very often. Richard Spencer says, perhaps Ben Shapiro should care about the Browning of America, or at least the Browning of the Daily Wire. You know, Candace is, with her Jewish employer, she's pushing the limit.
Monday. And so the big reminder, number four, that I want you to walk away with is that we're not allowed to have any entertainment anymore here in America unless it comes with propaganda to remind you to get to work. Right, to get to work, because we have a vision of how your tax dollars should be spent overseas. And so it's quite remarkable that Israel, the government that takes billions of dollars from us every year, decided to take not two, but three commercials. Now, the government themselves sponsored two commercials at the Super Bowl. Super Bowl commercial.
So the American government sponsored the Super Bowl commercials designed to convince the American public to support Israel. And it was featured, it was featuring all those, you know, those hostages story, and how you need to support Israel, and how you can, if you've ever seen one of these hostages, you can contact this phone number. No one, as Candace points out later in the speech, no one thought that this kind of publicity would lead to the discovery of hostages. It was just to sensitize you to support Israel through more funding. That is an excellent observation by this journalist. Children have been shot in other conflicts that I have covered, but never before have I watched as soldiers enticed children like mice into a trap and murdered them for sport. That is what's happening in the genocide of Gaza right now. You have arbitrary killings, snipers shooting civilians. We can see them. It's happening every day. A little sniper shows up of the Israeli army to shoot toward. Today we had a guy who was selling lemonade. Yesterday, I've seen a guy totally just walking on the streets with a t-shirt, not equipped at all in army, not having any weapons on him. They get shot by sniper. The snipers are seeding fear into the population by random killings, and it's either you run away or we're going to just kill you one after the other. It's an absolute genocide that is happening, and it's so sad that it's happening in the media environment that it's currently, like, people are just accepting it and promoting it on the Jewish side. Meanwhile, this will be our last news item. Fannie Willis is under investigation, and the whole trial of Trump has become a trial of the Attorney General for corruption. Because she got caught naming the special prosecutor that was supposed to be objective. She got caught that, it's not just a special prosecutor. It's also that she's had an affair with him. She was fucking with him and was hiring him as a objective special prosecutor. And now there is a claim even that she lied because she said, well, we did have an affair, but it was after I hired him, which to me is not a very solid argument. But it seems that she may have lied on this also. She was seeing him before. So she would have lied straight out to the court, would have lied to the judge. And now she is on trial for, is it true? Was there a relationship between her and him before she named him to investigate Trump? And she's getting totally owned in court. She's looking bad and she's getting nervous.
If you could ask a more precise question.
Yes, please. Give me the time period.
Mr. Wade visits you at the place you laid your head.
When?
Has he ever visited you at the place you laid your head?
So let's be clear, because you lied in this. Let me tell you which one you lied in. Right?
See how she's trying to avoid to answer? The question is very simple. Have you ever met this guy in that place? And she goes to, because you lied here. Let me tell you how you lied. No, there's a question. She needs to answer it.
Ask a more precise question.
Yes, please. Give me the time period.
Mr. Wade visits you at the place you laid your head.
When?
Has he ever visited you at the place you laid your head?
So let's be clear, because you lied in this. Let me tell you which one you lied in. Right here. I think you lied right here. No. This is the truth,
Judge.
It is a lie.
Ms. Will? Mr. Sainow, thank you. We're going to take 5 minutes. Be back in five.
No answer. She's getting nervous during other. And this host was describing the situation.
It's so legalistic centric and yet so important and fascinating.
Right. Don't let the legalese fool you. This is epic. This is monumental. If things are going in the direction we think, Fani Willis lied to the court, it's game over for her. She will be disqualified. If they had a relationship prior to when they represented to the court, it's a huge deal. I can't overstate it.
And do you?
It's a huge deal. Even MSNBC is saying it. That would lead perhaps to the fall of much of the prosecution, at least in Georgia, against Trump. She's trying to defend herself.
So your office objected to us getting Delta records for flights that you may have taken with Mr. Wade.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think I'm on.
Well, it would be nice to know if you flew with the guy. Because if you flew with the guy 3 years ago, and then you hung out with the guy 2 years ago, and then you fucked the guy 6 months ago, I would see the continuum of this as an ongoing relationship. Like, she took vacation, apparently, and went to some destination with cash on hand.
Trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020.
Well, that was how it was supposed to go, but now you are on trial and they're trying to determine if you've done, you've been dishonest.
Last area, briefly.
Yes, sir.
You had contact with Mr. Wade in the year 2020, correct?
I had some contact with Mr. Wade.
Would you explain when you say some contact? Please tell us, talking about 2020.
I had some contact with Mr. Wade in 2020. One of the reasons your allegations are so preposterous or Ms. Merchants that you have joined is...
Ma'am, I didn't ask you about the allegations. I asked you about your contact. That's all I ask you, okay? I appreciate that you want to say something, but... I'm interested in, did you have contacts with Mr. Wade in 2020? And your answer so far has been yes, correct?
Very limited contact because Mr. Wade had a form of cancer.
What? You had limited contact because Mr. Wade had a form of cancer. Is she saying that this was a moment they couldn't fuck because he has testicular cancer and they had limited contact? They couldn't have sex because he had a cancer on his balls.
It makes your allegation somewhat ridiculous.
I do appreciate the characterization.
I'm not going to emasculate a black man, but I'm just telling you.
I'm sorry, what?
And here she says, I'm not going to emasculate a black man. Is she saying that giving any defense of his statements would be kind of emasculating? Or is she saying that revealing the exact place where he got this cancer, which is on his balls, created both a situation where she couldn't get fucked by him and therefore couldn't have been in a conflict of interest? And it would be emasculating to say it, that this guy has no more balls. I think it's what she's trying to suggest. Now, to me, if you're in a relationship with someone and he's got balls cancer, you're still in a relationship with him. Even if you're not actively engaged in penetration, you are still in a relationship and you'd still be in a conflict of interest if you named that romantic partner of yours a special prosecutor.
What?
I'm not going to emasculate a black man. Did you understand that?
All right, well, I don't think we should discuss further. Mr. Sato, next question.
I'm not going to emasculate a black man. Again, always with the suggestion that somehow him being black changes the whole thing. It really doesn't.
Well, let me move on to my point here. So the point is that what you're telling us is that you were in financial straits, but really that your testimony today is you had a cash hoard of maybe up to $10,000 in cash where you laid your head at night, so that you would dip out and there would be no record of it, correct?
That's not what I'm telling you, sir. Well, that's not at all what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is that throughout the course of my life, I have always kept cash in my house. That cash has ranged from times, you know, my father would probably be ashamed of this because he would say it should be more, but that cash at times has ranged from $500 to maybe $9,000, and he would be.
This girl is sleeping on $9,000. Wow. I never slept on so much cash. That is, these women are, they're accumulating all this cash from their sugar daddy, admits misuse of campaign funds.
Whole life, when I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that. Like, to tell you, I just have cash in my house. I don't have as much today. Whole life, when I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that. Like, to tell you,
she kept some of the cash from her campaign money. Well, she is getting scrutinized, and I love it because it certainly puts a rod in the bicycle on the prosecution of Trump. And she wanted to be this George Soros attorney that goes after Trump, goes at the service of the left and of the Democrats, and uses her power illegitimately to submit Trump to undue process where she gets what she deserves. And it's always going to be like this with these leftist black attorney. They're not going to be able to help it. It's going to end in corruption, cash transfers, local corruption. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. I fuck your balls, you have ball cancer. it's always going to be a mess. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.